Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Way of Life Fellowship. I've got a few quick announcements for you while you're finding your seats. This evening, there's prayer at 7 o'clock at the Robertsons, and those little prayer cards that you got when you came in, if you fill those out, there's a basket in the back, so be sure to write down your prayer requests, and those are what we pray through on Sunday evenings. And so, and then feel free to come join us this evening. And then Tuesday, small group, and Wednesday, women's Bible study. Those are weekly meetings that started up last week, so be sure to check out either of those if you're interested. And then Thursday, November 3rd, will be the first of a monthly fellowship group that's going to start meeting on the first Thursday of each month, and that'll be just a ladies' coffee connection, just a time of fellowship and connecting together, and that was at Broadway Coffee House downtown Salem. And then on Sunday, November 6th, this is just a heads up, we're going to have a bake sale after church, so it'll be out in the hallway as you leave. There'll be some goodies available, and all the proceeds from that will be going to the orphanage in Rosarito. I think the idea is to be able to buy them some Christmas gifts. So, yeah, and then I think that's it. Yeah, so this morning we are welcoming DJ Vincent. He's here to share with us. So, yeah, come on up.
All right. It's always an honor when I get to come and share with this family of folks. And as I thought about what message the Lord was putting on my heart, some of the other Salem missional communities, and we kind of stormed your house a few months ago and brought kind of representatives from those six other groups. As I was thinking about what would the Lord have me share, we've been walking through Luke, several of those other groups. And so I looked at the passage for this week that several of our communities were going over, and it was Luke 5. And so essentially, it was like 2 weeks ago, I just started kind of marinating on that passage, just reading it in the morning. And I was just deeply moved by Jesus and what he was doing in this first little story. And so that's where I felt compelled to share. And so as we get going this morning, I want to read that story to you and just kind of hopefully you'll be swept up in it like I was, just who Jesus is and how he moves. And then I'm going to kind of unpack four different kind of life connections that I saw for myself in the passage. And I really anticipate that maybe the Spirit would really impress one of those on you, as this is what God has for me today. So you can read with me, or you could close your eyes, or you could just try to be caught up in this story of Jesus calling disciples and how their journey with him begins. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astounded at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now, for many of us, this may not be the first time that we've heard that story. And as you heard the details, I hope you saw that there's a lot of great activity there. But I'm going to talk kind of about four different movements that I see there. So if we put those first few verses up on the screen, or they're working hard on it, it'll be okay. Oh, we're moving fast. There we go. So Jesus is teaching, and whenever Jesus is teaching, he draws a crowd. And so lots of people are being drawn in to Jesus sharing good news. And the first thing that captures my attention about this story is that Jesus, he's by the lake, he sees a crowd, and he notices two boats. And he notices the fishermen cleaning their nets. And Jesus is observant, you know, fully God, fully man. There are no fish. Fishermen, boats, there should be a lot of fish that they're cleaning, and there's no fish. So what I pick up here is that Jesus sees that these men are down. They are in a moment of failure. They're fishermen. They're supposed to catch fish. They are probably heads down, cleaning their nets. They know they have to go back to their family with a story of failure. And before they can go back and sulk and, you know, lick their wounds, they have to get their nets ready and clean. And the thing that started getting me so interested in Jesus, he doesn't actually ask to step onto their boat. It's very specific. He just steps onto their boat. And I realized, when we are in our moments of failure, Jesus often steps right in. He steps into the boat. And we have to realize this is so counter what normal people do. If you're looking at a crowd and you're teaching, normally you're going to lean in to the people that are feeling success. You're going to go with those who are going. But isn't it good news to us this morning that when Jesus is with a crowd, he sees the failure. And he doesn't turn his eye from it. He steps right into it. He steps into their empty boat that hadn't caught any fish. They're feeling the shame of being poor fishermen, and they're just kind of brought right into this relationship with Jesus. So let me give you an example of that. There's what their boat might have looked like, except probably not with those rubber, you know, 50-gallon drums. I don't know if they'd created those yet. So if you go to this next picture, that's a beautiful beach. And I, like Peter, who was dreaming of a great catch that day, when I was first married, Gabby and I were married at 20 years old, And we made this decision that we were going to go across the country to Illinois. We both grew up in Idaho. We were kind of leaving our families, cleaving to one another. There was just a few small problems of that's pretty hard as a young couple, harder than, you know, we had heard. And where we went to cleave to one another, there were two of my best friends from high school. And so we were having a good time, you know, sharing college life. I was newly married. They were, you know, single. And so I was married in the summer. It gets to spring break time. And they're talking about going down to this beautiful beach in Mexico. And I start getting excited, and I start pitching this plan to my wife, Gabby. And she's like, that doesn't sound like the best way to spend our spring break. You know, we've been away from our families for a few months. We should really go home to Idaho. And I'm like, oh no, it's going to be great to go spring break on the beach. And I mean, it's like, I can remember all these. I've been married for 16 years. I can remember this conversation like it was yesterday. She's like, well, you know, you can just go with your buddies down to the beach in Mexico. And I'm like, oh, really? Great. I get her off on her flight to Idaho, and I'm taking the road trip with the guys down to the beach. And just as we're about to, this beach was in Mexico, so just as we're about to cross the border, I get a call from Gabby. I'm like, oh, great, she's calling in. And she's like, hey, I'm here in the pastor's office back at our home church in Idaho. And he really wants to talk to you. And so he's like, let me help communicate this to you. If you don't start acting like you're married, you may not be married as long as you think. And if you don't work some things out, I'm not sure Gabby's going back to Illinois. And so I get this call right before I hit this beach. And so when I hit the beach, I realize, you know, the goal was to hit that beach and have this great time with my wife. But I realize when I get there, my boat is empty. My wife is not there. And I'm hearing that my marriage is not off to the great start I might think it is. As you get to know me more, I'm a raging optimist. And so that was a helpful call, that it wasn't going as well as I may have thought. And on that beach, in probably the lowest moment of my life to that point, like water in the face, like realizing your wife is thinking about not going back to live where you live, the Lord met me. Jesus met me on that beach, on that lonely week, in a way that I had never met him before. Just in my doubt of myself, in feeling like I was failing as a husband, he met me in a very unique way. So my question for us is, what has your empty boat looked like? Does it feel like your boat is empty right now? And the Holy Spirit wants to say to you today, like, Jesus is stepping onto your boat. If you're feeling that sense of failure today, Jesus is not far away. He may actually be closer than he's ever been. For others of us, this is a good time to reflect and think, you know what, that's true. When I felt the deepest failure in my life, the Lord has been there. And he is so good. Let's go to the next part of the story. So when Jesus finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." So most of us have probably gotten some background on this, so I won't spend a ton of time on it. But you don't fish during the day with nets. They've been fishing at night when the fish kind of come to the surface, right? As the sun is setting, they're up feeding at night and they're up feeding in the early morning. When it's daytime, that's the time, if you're a fisherman, you clean your nets, you get ready, you rest. So it's the wrong time to go fishing. Jesus is also telling them something ridiculous. Go out into deep water. If most of us probably aren't net fishermen in here, but if we were, we would know you don't go out into the deep water to catch fish. You fish in the shallows. And so this is a moment of testing. This is a moment of how much do you trust me? This is a trust fall for a fisherman. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. And we thought we were doing everything right. We were fishing at the right time, in the right place. But here is this moment of trust that if we want to be on this discipleship journey, this following Jesus, there are going to be these moments of trust where it's not all just about conventional wisdom. It's not all just about best practices. It's hearing the voice of the Lord and saying, Peter does say, "Really, Lord? But because you say so, I will." So I want to share a story where I found myself in a similar spot. It was just 1 year in to our planting of Emmaus in 2006. And we were, you know, we were trying to do everything by the book. We were, you know, we had a great worship team. We had, we thought, pretty great worship services laid out. We were reaching out into the neighborhood. And there was this kind of nagging thing in prayer that Jesus just kept saying, I want you to go and serve the poor. And I was like, Lord, we're working really hard. we're trying to do all the right things. There's no lack of effort here, Lord. And that seems like really deep water. I've got like a team of young families here with little kids. Like, that this isn't the season to do that. And yet I found myself saying, okay, Lord, if you say so. And so I began this journey of going out into some deep water. And it started with me engaging in some interviews and just kind of finding out what was going on with those who are experiencing homelessness in South Salem, because it's unique to downtown. And so we started doing those interviews, and as I stepped out into that deep water, it was scary. It was like, you know, this doesn't fit like all my training, the life experiences that these folks have and the needs that are there. But stepping out into that deep water was a place that I found that I really met Jesus, and that he equipped me and gave me the things that I thought I didn't have. And so fast forward this journey, I've shared a lot of stories already with this community of how God has met us there So it started with interviews and it started with a few meals. We just did meals for like a year. Then we started a church community there. And then it was 16 months before we saw someone come to Christ. But then we saw 10 people come to Christ. And now the ministry does at least 2 touch points a week. And most of the ministry is done by people who are formerly homeless. So today, there's a gentleman named Bob who, 8 years ago was living in his car. He's walking people through Luke 5 right now. So that's pretty great. That's pretty good stuff. And yet, it was a call to deep water at the time. It was a call to, I've been working hard to do this, and you want me to put my nets out there? So my question for us is, what is deep water right now for you? And I have that picture, and I was just kind of searching, like, where does it feel like you've worked hard and caught nothing? And yet the Lord is calling you to go to that place with a spirit of trust. And it's okay to question the Lord and say, really? Is that where I'm supposed to go? But if he says, this is the place, this is the time. So I don't know if that's a workplace, because oftentimes I think we can feel a sense of resignation about our witness, our saltiness at work. Like, oh, I've worked hard there a long time and I've seen no fruit. But sometimes the Lord says, oh, you know, that's your deep water. Or it may be a new edge for you, like it was for me. Where is that deep water right now? All right, let's go to kind of the third movement. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. So this is a great season as a disciple of Jesus. And I hope that I'm going to give a moment here just to, at the end, to share some testimonies about different things. And it is good to recognize when Jesus just does something so much bigger than we could ask or imagine. He says when we're walking with him, if our eyes and ears are open, we're going to have those times where he pulls in such fruitfulness, more than we can imagine. And yet, the steps are, sometimes it's out of our deepest failure, sometimes it's a moment of trust, and then all of a sudden our nets are bursting open. Where I found that to be is we were doing this work at the school, and we were, you know, we were working hard trying to reach out to the neighbors. We were working hard trying to serve the school. And to be honest, we were seeing like barely any progress. You know, 40 people putting their shoulder into something. You know, you would hope you would see more than like 2 or 3 people added to our number. And yet there was this moment in 2008 when someone came to us and said, I think we should partner our youth ministry with Young Life. And we shouldn't try to do our own thing. We should join what they're doing. And so in that year, we saw, you know, that effort started slowly as we kind of stepped out into deep water. But then all of a sudden, the nets just started filling up. And in the past few years, we've seen that start at Leslie, and it go from, you know, a few kids in a room to all of a sudden, weekly, there's like 40 or 50 kids who want to come and be a part of it. And then it's spread to six schools to where Friday night, I got to share at a harvest party, and we had 180 kids. And it's like, the nets are bursting. And these are kids that don't know Jesus. They're kids who, a lot of them, aren't already plugged in to churches. They're hearing about Jesus for some of them the first time. And we're trying to paint out the life of Jesus and why he's someone that they would want to pursue and someone who's already pursuing them. And so for me, that is like the nets are bursting. There's more of a catch than I could have even hoped. So what is our imagination about that in this family? In this way of life family? If we're a family of believers, the people of God, I trust that he's going to meet each of us in our hardest spots. I trust that he's going to be calling all of you into some deep water places if he hasn't already. But I also trust there are going to be seasons of incredible fruitfulness for this family. And so, what are we dreaming that's going to be like? What is that going to look like for this family? So there's one last movement I don't want to miss and I want to point out. So Simon recognizes the truth that something miraculous has just happened. That this wasn't luck. This wasn't the right place to fish. This was a move of God. And he's immediately cut to the heart that he's not deserving of this. That he is in the presence of the Messiah. And he immediately says, you know, get away from me. I can't handle this. And that's the exact moment where Jesus brings even more of his embrace. And he says, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and followed him. Now, this is one of the craziest things about being a follower of Jesus, is, as C.S. Lewis often says, you know, he's a good lion, but he's not tame. And you can't always predict how he's going to move in your life. We have to remember, these are lifelong fishermen. What they know is fishing. What they do is go out each day and fish and clean their nets. Jesus has just brought the best catch of their life. He's just given them the most success in their business that they've ever had. And he doesn't say, good news, guys, you can buy two more boats because I blessed you so much in your business. He says, no, I'm going to call you now to use your fisherman skills to fish for people. And they leave everything because they know they've just met someone very special, and they follow him. So I don't know. This is where I would never venture to guess what this is for you in your family, in your business, in your journey with the Lord. I'm really interested to hear if there's any stories like this where it's like there was incredible fruitfulness, but I felt God say, leave that and do this other thing for me. That is a moment of intense trust, right? That's where you want to be in this intimate relationship with God so that you can trust, that's what I need to do. I'll make this story quick. I found myself in a spot like that. We had been serving the school and doing all these family nights, and we had 50 or so families coming, and I felt like, oh my goodness, this is so fruitful and this is so good. And the school district was giving us awards. And right after the night that they like gave us this award, like, you guys are so great. It's like, well, we're experiencing the favor of all the people. I feel like I heard the Lord say, that's done. You need to give that up. Because I need you to continue to basically start these other church communities. And this is taking too much of your time. And I was like, what? The boat is full of fish. Like, this is so good. And he's like, it's done. It's been good. You can celebrate it. That was a good catch. But we're done with that. And it was like so clear, like you cannot invest your time there. It was like 3 months later, I found out we were blessed as a family with a little daughter 10 years after our son. And I was like, oh, okay. I do need some more time and I need to be focused in a different way. And it was like those steps of trust started making more and more sense. And to be fair, we've started two new communities that are reaching new people that I wouldn't have had time for if I was fishing in the old way. So the last question here is there anything holding you back today? Is the success of the past holding you back from something that Jesus is saying, I've got something great for you in this season. I want you to be a fisherman in this way, in this season. So, again, I would encourage you to marinate in this story. Here, on this next slide, here are the things that I pulled out. Jesus is getting into your boat when you feel at your lowest spot. And what are those things in your life that it's like, this doesn't make sense, but because you say so, Lord. What is this large catch that might be coming? And what does it look like for you to leave everything and be completely available to Jesus today? So I want to give a moment for just if there's any way the Lord has just been bringing up a story in your life or just something you want to give testimony about that Jesus does work in this way in our discipleship journey. I'd love to hear a few of those.
Hi.
Hi.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Sharon Jones, and I'm holding Colton, who is the son of Mandy over here. And your story just reminds me, it takes me back to our ministry home, Lucille's home, which started as a vision in my mind a long time ago about helping pregnant gals. But over time, God kind of just really worked on that vision, and I was really surprised. I worked in the world for 23 years doing accounting and have, you know, no background in social service work, no education, you know, I lived a pretty good life, so not really exposed to that. But over time, God just really brought little events into my that were teaching me about foster care. On one trip, I was in a train station and met a woman and had about an hour-long conversation with her. And she was a homeless woman. And I had such a stigma in my mind about homelessness. And it was so life-changing for me that was about 3 years before we started this ministry. But it was like at the moment going, boy, what did you just teach me, Lord? He just changed the journey from that vision. And every day, it makes me really dependent that if I'm going to serve him with my whole heart, I have to do what he is doing, not what's in my mind to do.
It's good.
And I have to not be afraid of what that might look like. But it's so awesome. It's just so awesome to be doing what he's doing. And so thank you for bringing that up again.
Yeah, that's good. I really pulled out of your sharing the importance of those words that Jesus emphasizes, do not be afraid. Fear is the enemy of trust. Anybody else want to share a story? That was really great.
We're experiencing something like that in our ministry today.
Yeah.
Remember, it's not my ministry, it's God's ministry. And so, and the passage he's put in mind is, and which works with this one, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You got to trust him in everything, lean on him in everything, and allow him to direct you, pretty much like your boat.
Yeah.
But are you willing to do that? And are you willing not to be afraid to allow him to be God and you not? And so this is what's going on right now, and as as you know, I had retired from my ministry from the ministry June 1st, but I'm being pulled back into it, and I think it's all God's doing. And so with that, we're going, okay, God, if this is you, then we'll follow you, and if it's not you, then we're going to stop right here.
Good.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
That's good.
So he's making it abundantly clear which direction we're to go and what to do. But he's also allowing me to not retaliate, but to respond in love, to rather than react, to respond to a lot of negativism that's going on right now. And then also to share, especially with Chris, who's now in San Francisco today, but with Chris, what's going on, so that we as brothers in Christ can come alongside and help each other and pray for each other and pray for the ministry as a whole. So I think it's true. He's going to get in our boat. Are we willing to let him in the boat? Are we willing to do what he says?
There you go.
Because he said so without argument. Are we
That's
willing
good.
To do that? And are we willing to say, okay, Lord, the catch size doesn't matter in the number. It's your catch. And it's your size. And we'll clean what you give us.
Good.
And so with that, we'll follow you. So,
thanks for sharing that. That's good. Well, let me lead us in a time of prayer. Jesus, we are thankful as we reflect that you have been there for us in our lowest spots. We trust today that in those moments of failure that may be in the future, that you will be there. That you are a God who seeks us. And we are thankful that you do not turn away from us in our failure. God, I am so thankful that you are the one who has called this community together. The way of life is in your plan. And I just pray that you would guide them into trust, and that you would also put visions and dreams in their heart for what the catch is going to look like. And I pray that they would celebrate. I pray that they would call others in to celebrate with them. And we just pray that you would give vision and guidance and just make it tangible what it's going to look like and how you're going to move in this community. I just trust that the best days are still ahead for Way of Life and that you have a good plan for them. And Father, I pray that you're ministering to individuals today, that trust is growing, that people are really searching their hearts for what you have asked them to do. And I pray that you would just open our hands right now, that whatever we're holding on to that isn't you and your coattails, that we would release that and we would just grab on for dear life to you and to following you today. God, I thank you for this time together, and I thank you for your word, that it is living and active. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing with us, DJ. I hope you're all planning to join us for the potluck.